Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hanging out with Ben Malice today on the Backchat Basketball Show. It's been a while, Ben. You've been doing things. I've been very unorganized and been getting guests last minute. Last week, Paul Smith, owner of the Sydney Kings. Week before that, Ryan Brokhoff, currently not signed by a team, and the team would be, you know, it'd be a miss to not have him sign on in the NBL this season. Ben, good to have you back, man.
I feel honoured. You've had millionaires and famous athletes, and now it's just a humble kid from Perth now living in Melbourne on the podcast. So I'm back.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the playoff time, so let's get into it.
So humble. Exactly. It is playoff time. The NBA is happening. Not much NBL news to go over today because, well, there's not much NBL news to go over today. A few player signings have been happening over the last couple of weeks. Nothing, I'd say, too noteworthy. Players are being spoken to. The Worth Wildcats, still don't know what's going on over there.
The Worth are bringing it back. I saw Corey got signed this morning.
That's right. So
they're bringing it back, Sans Arthur and Luke Travers, I think.
That's right. So that's a big deal. Corey Webster was really good for the Perth Wildcats last year. A lot of people, when he first signed, were like, oh, God, what are they doing? Obviously, that was probably more out of the Perth fan base, considering that Webster bailed on them however many seasons ago after committing to sign with them. So I think there was some people who thought, not big fans of Corey Webster, but I think his play did a lot of the talking. And, you know, the Wildcats didn't win a lot of games last year, but when they – I mean, maybe one of their best wins ever was because of Corey Webster hitting a big shot with that the missed free throw. Corey Webster got it on the line behind the three-point line and hit a big shot. So I reckon he's won a lot of people over this year. Obviously, he's done the right thing in terms of the front office because they're bringing him back again. So, the Wildcats team is shaping up and, from all accounts, spending a lot of money to get said players over. But
yeah, they are.
When you haven't made the playoffs for two straight seasons after going 34 or 35 in a row, I think the front office goes, mate, we just need to throw everything at this and we need to do what we need to do to get the team back on track.
I'm just laughing. You've got all this Fremantle Dockers merch behind you and just the thought of a two-year playoff drought as we're talking about the Wildcats conjunct with
true.
What you're seeing behind you. So it's good to be the Wildcats, isn't it? And you're right. They're splashing cash like lots of teams are around the league. We were speaking this morning on our pre-production call how expensive these players and these rosters are getting around the NBL. But the Wildcats have their offense back together. Let's see if they can get stops because last year they couldn't stop a pick and roll with me and you. Obviously, if they get that changed around, and yeah, it'll be NBL season before we know it, and we can see whether the Perth fans are going to get their playoff team back.
That's right. One big name that, you know, big in terms of Perth fandom and, you know, his allegiance to the club for so long, Jesse Wagstaff, not signed at the moment. I know there's talks happening with him potentially being brought back to the club, but I'm also, from my understanding, Sydney Kings are interested in Jesse, Tassie are interested in Jesse. So there are teams that are willing to take him away from the Wildcats. You think with guys like that, you know, they're on the back end of their career and they've been Perth forever. They win multiple championships, so he's the captain. You think those guys probably just aren't touchable, they're not going to go anywhere, but he would be I think he'd have to consider some good offers that would come through because I know particularly Sydney, like, this is a guy that can win, that knows how to win. Sure, he's not going to start every game, but he's got the leadership, he's got the veteran sort of presence about him that can help them win games. And I think any team would benefit from Jesse being on that team. Like I said, maybe not always on the court, but you got a guy who's just, like, from all accounts, from people who have played with him, and I'm sure Greg would attest to this, just a really good person as well.
I feel like we have to get Paul Smith back on the pod. You know him. We know Greg Hire. He's best friends with Jesse. I think we need to get them all on the call next week. Let's have a 5-person podcast and have a powwow and see if we can get Jesse to sign his contract live on the show.
Work out some contract talks live.
We'll take a commission of 3% off the top. We'll both live large in Bali for a month or so.
depends which player we're talking about, if we can live large or 3%. We have been trying to get Jesse on the show, but schedules haven't lined up. And I've said to Greg, look, I just want you to bring Jesse on, and I think he'll get the most out of him. So we'll hopefully have that in the next couple of weeks, and maybe he'll reveal where he's signing. Who knows? Maybe he'll be staying at the Wildcats. Maybe he'll sign with the West Coast Eagles. They have no players at the moment. So,
well, he's tall. We need big players to play down back. We were talking this morning as well that I'm suffering this afternoon because I bought tickets to the MCG on Saturday to see Eagles play Richmond with a bunch of waffle players. It's going to be 12 degrees, cold and wet. So if Will wants to get on the plane and get a game, I think he might be in a chance on Saturday, and he can come freeze what the rest of us here at the MCG.
Well, Will Schofield has officially what's the word? Delisted himself from the Waffles. So he's played the two games.
He's coming to retirement, then he's retired after two games.
He's re-retired. Yeah, that's right. So I don't
think... Did he take one look around at the talent around him and say, no, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to get beat by 20 goals.
Exactly. But look, who knows what the West Coast Eagles are going to do. A lot of questions being asked about what's happening over there. Let's get into some NBA stuff straight up. So Joel Embiid is the MVP of the league. I think... There was probably two people that were, if either of them won, it was like, yep, that's a good pick. Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. I think they're your two. Giannis, also very good. Like, he would have been like probably 1C, I'd say. And then yep. Jokic and Embiid 1 and 2 there. So, it's just awesome having another international player win the MVP. Stick it to the Americans. That's right, five in a row. And in all honesty, like next year, Embiid, Jokic, Luka, hopefully he comes back. Like there's a lot of very good MVP caliber players not from the States. So I love to see that. First time in LeBron James's career that he didn't get an MVP vote, which is crazy. He's in his 18th season, right? And even in his rookie season, he was getting MVP votes. Even if it was one or two, it doesn't matter. He still got them. That's a crazy effort.
It is. LeBron's been a freak, hasn't he? And we're recording this just after the Lakers went into Golden State and won game one this morning. And
huge.
Again, Davis was tangent here, but it's the best game I've seen Anthony Davis play. He was tremendous. But even LeBron, he's still out there aged 38. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, and they're saying the only guys to play serious minutes in the postseason age 38 or older is Kareem in the history of the sport.
That's
no
crazy.
One else has played big playoff minutes at that age, and we're seeing that now. So, yeah, he didn't get an MVP vote. He's had his fair share of MVPs. And back to Joel, it's awesome to see Joel get this award because dating back to the year I lived in Philly, which was 2019, a little while back, he was speaking then about wanting to win the MVP.
Yep.
And he's been right there with Giannis and Jokic over the past 5 years, finishing second a couple of times. And I think this year it came down to the fact that he just wanted it more than the other two guys. Giannis rested a lot during the regular season. I still think Giannis is a better player, in air quotes, if we look at it that way. But
agreed.
He didn't play as much as Joel did this year. And Jokic as well, the Denver Nuggets took the last month of the regular season off, which, again, is starting to bear fruit because they're up 2-0 against the Suns and looking really good.
Yep.
But regular season-wise, I'm happy with Joel winning that award. He was the pick this year. And, again, let's just hope that he gets fit and healthy and can come back in the Celtics series because – you want your MVP guys out there on the court fighting in the postseason.
Yeah, definitely.
And it sets up these very tantalizing national conflicts, like you say, where we've got Embiid going against the Celtics team led by the young American players. And the same with Jokic in Denver, right? That he's this Serbian MVP going up against Denver Booker and Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, the American. So, yeah, the fact that internationals have won 5 MVPs in a row, and next year we're potentially adding the biggest freak to enter the league in 20 years from France to that equation as well. So, again, we could be at the dawn of something here where we're looking up in 10 out of 11 or 10 in a row or a decade-long run from MVPs all around the world, and it just shows that the game is developing, and it's good for us non-Americans that we can see people from all around the world winning these awards.
Who would be the next North American? I'm going to say North American, just to be correct. Who do you think would be the next to win MVP? Like, I think is Kevin Durant like possibly still?
No, he's too old. If you,
you know,
I like, think you have to look at someone that's in that mid 20s range. I'd say Devin Booker and Jason Tatum are the two that,
yep,
if probably Devin Booker can win it, but I look at someone like Jason Tatum is up next year to potentially win it if he can elevate his game that 5 to 10%. Because it also must be said, the NBA media voting system that votes on these awards, a high percentage of the voters are living or based in Boston or New York, which is that Upper East Corridor of,
yep,
the US. And remember, through the first quarter of the season, Jason Tatum was the MVP favorite because
and
the
Celtics, he was incredible.
And the Celtics, yep, were shooting the ball, they had the best record in the league. So it wouldn't surprise me if Tatum is the one to break through. And again, we know what Americans are like. There is going to reach a point, I think, where there's a bit of backlash to these international yeah, players coming in. America's very patriotic, as we know. So I think Jason Tatum ticks a lot of the boxes. He's young, he's athletic, he's a wing. He propagates all this Kobe material in, yep, terms of being made from the same material. He also shares a trainer with Joel Embiid and Drew Hamlin. They've got the same trainer who have the same media contacts. So I would actually bet, now that we're talking through this, get on Tatum to win next year, because I think all of the media apparatus that wrapped themselves around Embiid this year are going to be moving across to Tatum. So, yeah, that's been his bets for next year. Get on Tatum to win the MVP.
And I like that. I like Jason Tatum. I think he's – like, I love watching him. There's a lot of those, yeah, comparisons and stuff to Kobe. He's just a good – he just seems like a good guy, someone I'd like to hang out with, someone that could possibly be my friend. Speaking of the media – let's be honest, he doesn't want to be a friend. Speaking of media,
I won't burst that bubble.
There was one person, right, in the 100 people that give votes to the MVP that didn't even give a single vote to Jokic. That's outrageous. Yeah,
that guy is looking for attention, surely. Do we know which lady or man was the one casting the vote?
No clue. I just saw it was up on Reddit. So it was on Twitter. Worldwide Wob on Twitter, who sort of prolific Twitter user, he literally just spends every single night watching basketball, tweeting about it, had worked out that based on the amount of votes he had gotten, didn't vote for him.
The good thing is the NBA is going to release the awards voters, so we're going to know this in a couple of weeks. And again, we know what Twitter's like. The Twitter pitchforks are going to be out.
Oh boy.
Justifiably in this case, I think, because if you actually watch the game this year, you have to be living on a different planet or have a very serious agenda to not vote Jokic as the top 5 players. I'm interested to see who was at the top of this ballot, whether they voted for someone outlandish like a Russell Westbrook or someone,
yeah,
completely left field, because, again, it almost seems like a publicity stunt, doesn't it, that you're not going to vote for Jokic in your top 5.
Yeah, outrageous. Let's talk about Dylan Brooks. So, mate, he's done some stuff. He's definitely made a name for himself, whether it's good or bad. Everyone has been talking about Dylan Brooks in the last few weeks as they went up against the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. He said, you know, he was smack talking LeBron about being old and I don't care. He needs to drop 40 on me to consider anything. Now the Grizzlies have said he won't be coming back next year. He's out of contract, and it's a very interesting one. So I saw Shams tweet that under no circumstance would he be brought back, and I think that's been clarified recently that the Grizzlies didn't particularly say that under no circumstance Brooks wouldn't be brought back. That was the language that Shams used. So that was just an interesting sort of cleanup, I think, because that'd be a dog move for the Grizzlies to come out and say, under no circumstance do we want him back, because it sort of puts him out in the town square, I guess, and goes, this guy we want nothing to do with him. Does a team, and I'm really nervous to ask you this, does a team go out and sign Dylan Brooks?
I think I know which team you have in mind, but I'm going to park that to the side of the discussion for a minute and get my soapbox here, because if I was Memphis, I would want nothing to do with Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
Again, I'm going to get my soapbox here. I think you have to realize what you're going up against. And you're poking LeBron James, who first best, second best of all time, is undisputed as one of the champions of the game.
Yep.
And then you're talking all this nonsense about poking bears and trying to get in his head and dropping 40. And then all the Lakers did was drop 40-point victories on the Grizzlies to send them home in game 6. And Dylan Brooks is a classic case that happens in the NBA every now and again of someone getting their ambitions and their abilities mixed up.
Yeah,
because if you want to talk the talk, that's fine. We love it. We love this medium. We love talking. We love the entertainment. But he just become the butt of jokes, and rightfully so. And we saw him leading the Bill Simmons podcast. We saw him leading First Take. So he got what he wanted. He got the attention. But, man, you've got to back that up. And then those games in LA, games 3, 4, and 6, the dude just melted, couldn't make a shot. His team got one off the court. And the fact that that's leaked to Shams the day after the Memphis Grizzlies had their exit interviews smacks of an agenda coming out of Memphis that they were jack sick of this guy, sorry, months ago, and now's the time where they've got rid of it. So I saw that this morning as well. They've got the cleanup coming in terms of what the media messaging is, and I dare say that Dylan Brooks is no chance he's going to be in Memphis. I think the caveats coming out this morning is more whether Memphis can get something in a sign and trade back for him from a team like your Dallas Mavericks, I'd assume.
Oh, gosh.
Because Brooks can play in the postseason. He is a $15 million a year player that can service a role in the NBA, but you have to know your role and shut your mouth. I know that's a clip you guys use in the podcast from Trevor and Kelsey. You just have to know your role and know what you're doing. And yeah, come on, going after LeBron James when LeBron is bigger, stronger, and better with Anthony Davis, you just have to know what you're doing. So yeah, a team will sign Dylan Brooks, although I suspect it's going to be someone like our friends in Houston, a rudderless franchise that's going to allow him to run rampant. But I don't know, your Mavericks, 30 seconds, would you want him on your Mavericks?
No, not a chance. I know he said today that he wants $25 million a year, which is outrageous money for him.
So do I.
Obviously, he's just talking himself up because that's what he does. He gets out and he talks. He wants a bigger role. He said he's just considered a 3-and-D guy in Memphis, but he's more than that. I don't think he's shown that he is more than that, if anything, but like you said, you got to know your role, shut your mouth, and you can be a serviceable 3-and-D guy. Without running your mouth, without causing distractions for the teams. Like, teams could do this thing like, you know, we're not worried about outside noise and all that, right? And they have to deal with that. So having to deal with inside noise, all these, like, Dylan Brooks walks into the locker room, I'm sure all his teammates aren't going like, oh, you got him. Like, you cooked him. Like, well done, man. Like, thanks for that. Like, you would be in their heads and be like, shut up, just please stop talking. So I don't know. I really hope he doesn't end off at the Dallas Mavericks. I assume that they wouldn't make that sort of a bold move considering the moves that they've made in the past. But like you said, maybe someone like the Houston Rockets that has to spend money because, you know, they've got all these young guys that are just rookies and, you know, second-year players. They're super young. They're obviously going through and trying to rebuild. They have to spend some money on something. And maybe they want to be relevant. Maybe the Houston Rockets go, Dylan runs his mouth a lot, but the Grizzlies were talked about every week.
Yeah.
When's the last time anyone was talking about the Rockets other than them being, you know, crazy young?
Just a ramble. And the shame about Dylan Brooks, he is a good NBA player. His defense is all NBA-level defense. He is a tremendous player on that side of the ball. The 3-and-D comment, he's not really a 3 because I'm just looking up now. He shot 32% on 3 the past couple of years. So, but he takes a lot of shots that reminds me of Marcus Smart in that sense. His confidence and his ability, they don't quite match up, and that gets him to this level in the NBA. But we've seen this year in and year out that teams winning championships or competing deep into the postseason don't have minutes for guys like this. So, again, I don't mean to be harsh to Dylan Brooks, but he strikes me as someone that's going to bounce around these teams pushing for the play-in mix, which is what the Houston Rockets would be, or there's many others around the league. Because you just can't take him seriously as a player if he's seriously going out there and running his mouth like this. And Memphis as well, I think it's time for them as a franchise to grow up, and getting rid of Dylan Brooks is probably the way of doing that. That there was all this stuff with Ja Morant, which is completely more serious and completely separate to this, but it's systematic of a culture in Memphis that wasn't under control when the team hasn't had its young players under control yet. So I think this news coming out this morning is probably the franchise leaking this to the media and saying, all right, enough's enough. Yep. It's time to get back control. And it's time for us to grow up because they've got Desmond Bane, they've got Ja Morant, they've got Triple J.
And
they've got good role players.
Elite talent on that team.
If they can get fit and healthy and focused, this is a team that should be making conference finals runs over the next couple of years.
Yep.
And to do that, I think Dylan Brooks is going to be the sacrifice and probably in the great example of addition by subtraction in Memphis because, the way that series ended in LA on Saturday morning was an embarrassment and there's no time to repeat that next year.
Of course, and they do need, like, they've got Steven Adams, right? So they're still a very young team, like you said, so they've got a lot of time to make runs. They've got Steven Adams, who is a great leader, a veteran presence, but you do need more than just him. Like, he can't keep everyone under control. He can't go into fight for Ja Morant on the sidelines when people are hurling abuse at him, and he can't cover for Dylan Brooks when he's doing stupid stuff off the court. Like, you need more guys that are going to be able to steer the ship. Let Ja be Ja, let him do all the things that he does. Triple J, of course, like, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year probably 3 or 4 times in his career. He's that good. So you need guys that are going to then steer this. And they're a really scary team. Like, when they're good, like, they're really scary. So I agree. What did you say?
Addition by subtraction.
Exactly.
We weren't very good at math classes in school.
That's right. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out and which team takes the takes the gamble. I can't imagine it's someone who goes, we're ready to I don't know.
Interesting thing about that, though, you look at what's happening in the offseason, or is about to happen, there are that many teams that are thinking, again, not to pick on your Mavericks, but there's the Mavericks, there's the Grizzlies, there's whoever loses the Celtics Sixers series, there's the Clippers, there's these teams that think they're one piece away from making a deep playoff run, and there's only so many players out there. So
yep.
Even though we've said all this, Dylan Brooks is still probably going to get a $100 million contract from someone. It's just the odds are it's either going to be a fit that's not great or an opportunity that's one for him and the team that we're going to see very quick whether it works, because desperate teams do desperate things. And like we've just said, you can talk yourself into Dylan Brooks. But again, I'd be quite nervous if I was the franchise offering him 4 years at $100 million to come in and be my piece that takes me over the edge, because he hasn't proven the ability to do that. And yeah, the fact that Memphis is willing to walk away does reveal the fact that they are simply over everything that he brought to the table.
Maybe it's a bit dangerous because of the location, but maybe somewhere like Miami goes and brings him in, and Pat Riley sits him down. And he says, and like I imagine a conversation with Pat Riley in a boardroom at the head office of the Miami Heat would be quite intimidating. And maybe he needs that. Maybe he needs, because I don't know what the Memphis front office is like and how that's run, but someone like a team like that that's got a lot at stake, a lot of history,
pedigree.
They've got the pedigree, exactly, and they can maybe go, well, we see what he can do, and like I'm sure Pat Riley would sort him out. So
have you heard of the stories of Pat Riley going into recruiting meetings and just plonking all of his championship rings on the table?
yeah,
I could imagine him doing that next to Dylan Brooks and his eyes lighting up. Because you're right, Dylan Brooks has to go to somewhere, even somewhere like Golden State, the fit isn't there from an on-court perspective, so it's not going to happen. But someone that's got that veteran presence that can say, hey, dude, like we don't do that here.
Yeah.
You've got a great skill set, but again, you've got to play your role, know your role, and just sit a little bit off the court because we don't need all the drama that you bring.
Exactly. The West, speaking of the West, with what you were just mentioning, it's so wide open. Yeah. And I think looking back, like I was sort of got over the fact that the Mavs didn't make the playoffs because I was just resolved to it, like, whatever, like I just hate them. But now just seeing the playoffs happen and the Lakers are now beating Golden State, it's only one game and Golden State can easily beat you in a seven-game series. This is why you try and make the playoffs, right? Because you just don't know what's going to happen and you don't know who's going to catch lightning in a bottle at the right time. Now Luka's on a yacht probably in, I don't know, somewhere fun, right? And he'd be watching these playoffs going, could have beaten them, like at the right time. Obviously, the Mavs didn't perform at their best when it counted. But you look at the Lakers now, like they're a scary team all of a sudden because it's just clicked. And Anthony Davis is playing incredibly well. We had 30 and 23 or something today.
Yeah.
I think this is a good example, and I hope the Mavs look at this and go, maybe we didn't make the right call in. Look, I think obviously they tried to lose the last three games because they were fined, and Jason Kidd said we're not, we've got different ideas of what we want to do. But I think when a month is left of the season and they're like, we might make it, we might not, that's when you have to go in and like really go for it because who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. We talk about the Mavs a lot, and I joke you on this sometimes, but I'm serious. When Luka asks out in 12 or 18 months, the two-month period from the start of Feb through to the end of April is, that's my narrative mind, my journalist mind is ticking off here. That's the period because you've got the Kyrie trade, you've got that not working, you've got the injuries happening, and you've got a team punting on the season when they have someone that we all think is a top five player in the league, and you just oppose that with the Lakers who got into the play-in, won their game, and now they're 1-0 up against the Warriors team. But the better example is Jimmy Butler and the Heat out east. They lost their first playing game. They stuck in the eighth seed. I personally thought they were going to get swept by Milwaukee. I thought that was a whitewash.
Yep.
Giannis gets injured. The opponent looks old. And look up now. Miami is favored to make the Eastern Conference Finals. And in the NBA, it is so hard to get players of the caliber of Luka Doncic, of Jimmy Butler, of LeBron James. But when you get them, you should be not just making the playoffs, but thinking you can win a championship.
Yeah,
and
every
the fact
year.
That, yeah, every year. So punting on a season, could you imagine? LeBron gets a lot of shit, but I would not imagine LeBron James's team ever sacrificing a playoff spot to increase their draft lottery odds, or Kevin Durant or Joel Embiid or any of these players. And again, that's less to do with Luka and more to do with the front office in Dallas. So
the
Mavericks have their own.
I will say the Lakers, Like the, at one point when there was probably 20 games left, LeBron did have a – and they weren't making the playoffs. LeBron did get a foot injury that was possibly going to keep him out the entire season. And then they won four or five games, and all of a sudden their playoff chances increased significantly, and LeBron somehow came back from a season-ending injury to play. So, you know –
he did, but the, at least the Lakers this year made the trades to put their team in position to succeed. They, again, yeah, they could have easily tried for Kyrie Irving. They probably did try, and by all accounts they wanted him – but they didn't. So whether it was good luck or good circumstances or good skill, whatever, again, it proves another point that going after one flashy ball handler that's quite temperamental on and off the court is not the way to build a championship team. You need wings that can run. Even watching the Lakers game this morning, Jared Vanderbilt was one of the best players on the court because he was counting Steph Curry. So we see in the NBA finals and the playoffs before that, that which players are needed to advance into the postseason. And some teams get seduced by the ball handling and the handles and the shooting. But it comes back to those cliche, those boring things that become sexy in the postseason. You need defense, you need rebounding. And the teams that are left, the Lakers, the Heat, who I'm thinking of specifically here, their offense isn't great, but defensive, they can clamp teams down. And both of those teams have home court advantage now in the second round and are thinking of making the conference finals.
Just, yeah.
Well, again, the lottery's in 3 weeks, so we need to get you a lotto ticket, get you some pom-poms, whatever, rub Buddha's tummy, whatever works for you. We need to, maybe we need to record this podcast straight after the draft lottery in a couple of weeks because the only hope the Mavericks have of turning this around is getting a 7-foot Frenchman on that team. Short of that, Luka will have his bags packed to Denver or LA or Miami within 2 years.
I did look, so they're currently sitting in the 10th pick, and I don't think at those, at that end of the draft lottery, I don't think there's much movement because
you have a 3% chance.
Exactly. So it's so low. And someone tweeted recently, like, the last 20 years of the number 10 pick. And honestly, like, I don't know if half of them are still in the league. So it's such an odd place to pick. It's not
no man's land.
It's not far away enough from the top where you can find these gems that are like being sort of slept on, and maybe they haven't had the best lead up to the draft, but it's not high enough where it's a given that they're going to be good. You're taking a punt.
You look at the teams like the Washington Wizards have been picking in that 7 to 13 range for the past 8 years, and you go through and look at the names they've picked up. There are scrubs, journeymans, and one or two role players that need to escape. So it's no man's land. Again, you just have to pray to whatever god that you believe in that the Mavericks get lucky, because a punter's chance is all they've got.
When Zion was on the draft board, so whatever year that was, I can't remember.
It was 2019.
Yeah, so the Mavs had they were in the draft lottery then, and I can't remember what pick they had, but during the lottery night, I lit 3 candles or 4 candles and I put a picture of Zion in the middle of the candles. And to try and sort of generate something for the Mavs. Like, I'm not really into witchcraft, but I thought maybe that might work. I even had some garlic there because I just thought maybe that helps, and that's usually a thing that happens in witchcraft. But that didn't help. So I think I need to change tack a bit and, maybe eat some French food that night or something.
Maybe. I'm just looking now. That year, the Mavericks had the 10th worst record, so the 10th spot again. And, well, that was actually the year that the pick was going to Atlanta for the Luka trade. So Cam Reddish was the player they would have taken. Again, someone that's flamed out of the NBA. So, again, whatever omens, I think we need some listener feedback. What are some lucky omens, some socks, some jocks, some undies, hoodies, whatever works, because we need to keep the freer one's not your lucky one.
No, I've got this this Dirk Nowitzki jersey. I'm just going to rub Dirk's belly there or something.
Those listening without watching that, I go, what are those guys doing?
Yeah. Well, if you're not listening and you want to watch, we are on YouTube. Just search Backchat Basketball Show or just search Backchat. You'll see the channel there for the Backchat Basketball Show. And if you want to see stuff that we do on Instagram, Backchat _ basketball is the handle. I always forget that, and it's so simple, Backchat_basketball. Hello, backchatpodcast.com.au is where you can email us, send some questions, we'll answer them. There'll be some more playoff stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're getting to the finals and then good old lottery that we can chat through. And I don't know, like I said, I'm not really a witchcraft guy, but maybe we could do a seance or something. I don't know. That's how you, I don't know. I don't understand witchcraft, obviously.
It shows. Well, I'm over here in Melbourne. So again, whatever you need, I'll be moral support from 3,000 kilometers away.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Hi. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.